Right, everybody, got to tell you that round two of the 2021 Betfred Super League season has been renamed the Mossy Massoy round. Fans encouraged to buy virtual tickets to support the Mossy Massoy Foundation. And we should tell you right at the top of this podcast that you can text 5Mossy to 70085 to donate £5, 10Mossy to donate £10. You get the picture. You can donate up to 20 quid or visit the website www.mossymassoyfoundation.co.uk. Mossy's going to be in the Sky Sports studio as well on Thursday night for the Hull KR St Helens game. And if you're wondering, I'm sure you know, you're fully aware of this story, but the initial campaign will raise money for Mossy, his partner Carissa, and their three young children, daughters Evie Rose, Marlo, and baby son Louis as well. That is Mossy, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube. He hasn't paid the bills in his house, so I can guarantee you that is Mossy. Or is it? Welcome, Mr. Mossy Massoy, to Out of Your League. Great to have you on the podcast, mate. And look, you need no introduction to these two clowns because you spent a couple of years at St. Helens with them. Happy memories, Mossy, yeah? 2014?
Yeah, really good memories. You know, there was one day there when Wilco used to his back door in his car never used to lock, and I used to go like climb in the back of his car and scare him when he drive away. So there's plenty of great memories there, and
But can you imagine anything scarier, Will? Driving off in your car, right? Mossy cannot disguise. He couldn't hide behind a building. He's that big. Do you know what I mean? He got into the boot of my car without me knowing. Lay down in the boot. I've been driving 5 minutes off, and he's just crept over the back seat, coming towards the front. Look, this man has got one of the biggest heads in rugby league. That's a big head. The camera is nowhere. If the camera was the same distance as ours, all you'd see is his nose. That is it. So he came out the boot. He came out of the boot of the car, and I'll be honest. I went into fight or flight mode, and my instant reaction was to run away.
That is just something from a Hollywood thriller. That one, some sort of crime scene.
It's awful.
Ever in the back of Flanagan's boot, Mossy?
He had
too much respect for me.
That's
right. I've heard all sorts of stories. Wilkin used to give you little wedgies in the canteen at lunchtime as well. He used to bully you, Mossy.
He was the bully of the team, stealing my lunch, giving me wedgies, making me make him coffee.
Oh, no, this is all. It's all not true. None of that's true. That's a promise.
But in all seriousness, that night, because I remember being there and watching Mark and John and you, Mossy, of course, Old Trafford, 2014. I mean, that is memories that all of you, Mark, will remember forever and ever, isn't it?
Yeah, it was something I dreamed of. I'm sure Mossy coming over from Australia to play over here was something that he wanted to achieve, and to do it with some great players and some great men, and Mossy included, it will be mates for life. And yeah, I loved taking the field with Mossy every time I did. It was a great play to play with.
Well, Kurt, what are your memories of that night? I know you didn't play, you were watching whatever, but it was difficult for you to watch. Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was me and Johnny Lomax, we'd been carrying injuries like all the way through the year pretty much. And then I think it was about 6 weeks out from the GF, you know, I had to have a reconstruction on my shoulder. So me and Johnny Lomax had this moment in the showers at Old Trafford where we just fucking wept. It was pathetic, honestly. It was really bad. We just like stood and we were like, we're happy for the boys, but we're like, oh, like just, you know, self-pity in its worst, you know, like the worst thing. But the interesting thing about that was that, look, we were both injured and having, you know, having Mossy here to be able to talk about that, the injuries are just part of the game. That was an amazing night, look, an amazing night for Saints and an amazing night for what was a great team that was written off actually all year. We're never given the credit we deserve for how we'd gone that year. But in my mind, selfishly, that night probably was that moment in the shower with Johnny Lomax just sobbing on each other's shoulders just before the lads went out. But you know, that sport, and it was a mega year for Saints, that.
Look, Mossy, I've got so much respect for what you've been through, and I know a lot of people within the Rugby League fraternity have heard your story, but there are plenty of people who haven't, and hopefully people who are listening to this. So if you don't mind, Mossy, take us back to, because that was obviously a massive highlight in your career, 2014, and you've had some dark moments along the way as well. This career-ending spinal injury happened in a trial match, didn't it, for Hull KR against Wakefield. Just take us back to that match and that moment and your thoughts sort of pre-game and building up to that moment which changed your life.
Yeah, that pre-season was a bit different. You know, that was the first time coaches said to me I was able to lift some weights, and you know, like they weren't really worried about how heavy I was going to be or anything. You know, they said, you know, you got to be that guy because everyone else is fit. So I was like, how good's this? So I was you know, smashing all the weights at training and, you know, just getting massive. And I was just like, how good's this? I can't wait till the season starts. Eh? And I was just hyped up for the season, and we had a really good preseason, and and then it happened in the first, I think, 2 or 3 minutes of the game. Didn't even get to touch the ball. So we were just defending, and they got a penalty. Then they made a play to, and it looked like it was going to score a try. I tried to run across and cover, and then, yeah, it just happened. And then, you know, when it initially happened, I was just like, I thought I was knocked out. Because, you know, you get that dazed kind of feeling. You're lying on the ground, you kind of look over to the thing, and I said, oh, I'm just going to close my eyes and, you know, let it kick in. But I opened my eyes, and then I was like, I can't feel my legs. Like, where are my legs gone? Yeah, it felt like, you know, that magician thing, you know, when they cut someone's legs and they take them away in a box. That's, I was that guy, and he just left my head there. So, that was a bit freaky, yeah. And
it was a really innocuous challenge as well, wasn't it, Moss? It didn't look like anything.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't. I always kind of say to people, I think it's just like, you know, you drop your phone a million times, you know, and it doesn't crack, you know, and then that one time you drop it on the, you know, like from like a little height, and it just that perfect angle, and it just went, it is shattered. So, and probably years of abuse of just running into brick walls and things like that. But, you know, that's the game, and I still love the game, and I miss it. That's what I'm. And if I got cured from this, I'd probably go do it again. So, yes.
What was the moment like then? You know, you described there being what it was like being on the floor, and that sort of moment of impact, and probably just like, I mean, how many times you've been concussed in your career? Probably in double figures. You know, I know Mark has as well, which is why he's the way he is. But serious question though, the moment that the medical staff came on for you going to the hospital and that realization kicking in, what was that like?
You know, the realization come pretty quick. It was when I was in the medical office waiting for the ambulances to come, and I said to my missus, can you just like really pinch my leg as hard as you can? And then I was like 5 seconds later, I said, did you pinch my leg? And she was like, yeah, I pinched it. And she actually put a big like scar in my leg, but I couldn't feel it, you know. So that was the moment I knew, this is not good, like something bad has happened here. So so they rushed me to hospital. I was lucky, you know, there was a doctor on there straight away ready to, you know, perform the surgery. And I'm just lucky that it all kind of worked out well, the surgery and things like that, because it's time. If you leave it for too long, you might not get certain things back. So the analogy I use, it's kind of like, you know, when you're hosing your yard, and so your hose is your like your spinal cord with the water and stuff, and then sometimes if you can't get back to where the tap is to turn it off, you kind of just like kink it, like to stop the water. So that's what happened to me. So my one got kinked, and then no nerves or no signals. Well, they're sending the signals, but yeah, they weren't getting through, like from my C4, C5. So everything underneath my shoulders down was all like, it wasn't working. if it was working, it wasn't, it was involuntary. It was like spasming. My body was just bit out of control. So he went in and kind of released the hose, and then just waiting for what you call it again. It's just time, and you just gotta wait until the water can go through. So yeah.
Mossy, you're saying all of this with a smile on your face as well at the moment, but I mean, how scared were you at the time?
A little bit scared, but optimistic always. Like, I've always been that person. We're down by 50 points, 5 minutes to go. I was, oh yeah, we can still win this game. I'm that guy. So yeah, he said deluded. To me, oh, yeah, a bit crazy. It happened, but you know, now it's time for me just to, you know, just kick on and just hopefully get things back.
If we go back in time, Mossy, you know, I remember when you signed for Saints, I remember me and you having a conversation, and you'd had a repair on your neck. You know, you'd had this surgery on your neck back in Australia. And I remember at that time thinking, well, I'd had a similar surgery, but yours was a lot different to the one that I'd had, hadn't it? So just tell people about that history of your neck and the background.
Yeah, so I had, it's called a disc replacement. So I had like two disc replacements in my neck, and they take out your old discs and put in the new ones. So it just helps with the, what you call it again. So when someone gets a dead shoulder or something, it's normally their disc slipping into their spinal cord, you know, and then it kind of goes back. So thank God that wasn't the cause. I asked the doctor straight away. I said, mate, did those things break in my neck? And he was like, no, it's just what happens over time with that kind of stuff. It's like the ligaments and stuff start taking all the pressure and things. And I still kind of don't understand, but what they told me, and they pretty much said this, it was just all the ligaments, and it's just got, that spinal cord just got strangled, and I lost all the sensation from my shoulders down.
I mean, Mossy, I have no idea how I would react in that situation, being in a hospital bed, and especially when you were told the news that, you know, you might never be back to normal. How did you take that news? Because I imagine that came a few days later. That wasn't all just in the space of 24 hours. How did you digest that?
You know what? I grew up with my cousin. He's got really bad cerebral palsy, so he's like wheelchair bound, and like he can't talk. He mumbles. But he knows who I am. I used to always hang around with him, like, because I had three sisters, and then it was only him and as a boy. So I would rather go hang out with him than my three sisters. And it was just us. I used to like cruise around on his wheelchairs, and we should just like play around. He uses a motorized wheelchair and stuff like that. So me sitting there trying to feel sorry for myself was never on the cards, man. Because like I look back at him, and he never had the opportunity to do what I've done. You know, I've got to live my life for the 31 years, and I've lived it. And so, you know, now it's just recovery now, and you know, I've got a chance to hopefully get back as much as I can. But that's how I got to look at things now. Just keep grinding away and hope for the best.
Mark, what was that like when you heard the news? Because I mean, I remember exactly where I was when I saw it, and the first person I obviously thought of Mossy, but I don't know Mossy, was you two having played with him. How much of an impact did that have on you guys?
It had quite a big impact, to be honest. I remember watching, I was looking on Twitter to see what the issue was, and I saw a few videos of what had happened, I think the next day. And it saddened me, firstly, because as John and I were saying off camera a bit earlier, that Mossy is without doubt the nicest person I've played with in rugby league, and that's probably 14 seasons, probably 100 blocks, 150 blocks, and I can say without doubt he's the nicest guy. is the most humble, respectful person I've ever met. And listening to him then, it didn't surprise me to hear his outlook on the injury in life, because he's always had that outlook of there's always people worse off. He's always put people in other people in others' shoes. He's always thought of those he loved around him and his teammates and people around him. He'd take the shirt off his back and give it to you if you needed it, and he'd do anything for a friend. So having heard the news, it really did upset me, because of all the people that didn't deserve to have such a horrific injury, I think Mossy would be top of that list, because like I said, he does so much for others, and he's truly a great guy.
John, you had a very similar injury as well, didn't you? You would have been thinking that straight away.
Oh, mate, when I heard the news, my mind went straight back to the conversation me and Mossy had when he just signed for Saints, like I was saying, about his injury and his, you know, that history of the neck. And, you know, and it's, you look, like everybody does in that situation, I thought about myself as well. You know, as well as I thought about Mossy, I was really upset for Mossy. But at that point, I was like questioning, well, I've had a C6-7 discectomy. I had my C6-7 taken out. I lost the feeling in my right arm and my right tricep for about a period of about 3 months, which I didn't realise. I thought it was a shoulder injury at the time, but ended up being a neck injury. And when I heard about Mossy, I thought about that conversation. And I think a lot about, you know, the medical side of the game, about the injuries that which, you know, players put themselves through, and, you know, and knowing that Mossy had that pre-existing condition, I think a lot of my thoughts around the time were about, you know, how much was that related to it. And you know, it's encouraging to hear from Mossy. It's nothing to do with the repair that he'd had, but without doubt, Will, I can say the reason Mossy got the injury he did is the size of his head. It's disproportionate to the rest of himself. If you have a head that big, there's a lot of stress going through that neck, Mossy. You know, there must be some stress. So I'm blaming head volume. So in terms of head volume, I know we've had this chat quite a lot and we've done it extensively. I think James Graham was up there. We've had Sam Burgess, who's got quite a large head. But Mossy Massoy, you know, at the point at which he got injured, I thought, it's the head. It's got to be the head size. There's no other explanation.
No, I think you're right, mate. I definitely think you're right.
Mossy, look, I absolutely want to fast forward at some stage to you right now, because you're in such a great place and it's so good to see you smiling and being, you know, being you. But if we can just go back to a moment as well when you were at your lowest, and look, this is pretty intruding from us, from someone that doesn't know you, and if you can share as much as you'd like to. But when you were at your absolute lowest, what got you through?
Right, just the boys, man. as weird as it is, they were there like every day. It was funny. I'd wake up from bed and like someone would be sitting there, like one of the bros from the team, you know, my teammates were always there. They never left me alone. You know, like young Will Dagger, I was asleep one night and I woke up and it was probably like 7:30, off and on with medication. He's sitting there, he's waiting with like dessert for me. and you know what? The funny thing about it is like, he'll be standing there, he'll be like, and his missus is there as well. And she was about 8 months pregnant. And they were just waiting for me to wake up. And I was like, oh, Dags, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I bought you some dessert. And then like, I'm lying there. I think about it. I couldn't move my arms and my legs. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awkward. He's got a feeding my dessert. And then Dags is just like, yeah, sweet, where's the spoon? And then he just starts feeding me my dessert. Like, my teammate is there feeding me my food. I was like, oh, hell. You know, all that stuff just goes out the window, man. Like, you know, and it would be boys, like heaps of boys were just doing stuff for me. Or like, you know, I couldn't pick up my legs, put on pillows. I'd be like, you know, picking up my legs. You have to make sure you get turned every 4 hours just because of pressure sores. The boys were there, the nurses, it'll take about 4 nurses to do it. So the boys would just be like, oh, all right, we'll roll them over and put some pillows underneath. Like, it was just unbelievable. Like, they got me through, man. Like it was unbelievable. I can't thank them enough, because my time flew in there because of them. And then we went.
I read a pretty heartwarming story, and I hope it's true, and I hope you can tell us about it. Yeah. But there was a paraplegic rugby league fan called Wayne.
Who came to
see you. Tell us about Wayne.
Oh, Wayne's the man. He's a big Featherstone Rovers fan. So Wayne is an accident probably about, I think I'll say 30 or 40 years ago now. He said it was so long ago that they didn't have to wear seatbelts. He's that type of bloke. He's really funny. So he was in a car crash and they didn't have seatbelts, and that's how he got his injury. But you know, when I was in bed and I was just lying there, I used to see him coming past with his wheelchair, and I was going, I hope one day I can be like Wayne. And then one day I was starting to get like feeling back in my legs, like the touch, they get this like a pin prick you everywhere, and they see if you can feel it. And I start, and then Wayne coming afterwards, he goes, oh, what, can you feel your arms? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, can you feel your legs? And I was like, yeah, I can feel my legs. And he goes, oh, I'll get up, mate. Stop faking it. And he because he's been in that situation, he understands it. He knew, somehow he knew that I was gonna not be in a wheelchair. He knew that I would progress more. Like, I don't know how he knew, but he just knew. He just like, mate, you're gonna walk out of here. It's gonna be hard work. You walk out with crutches or whatever, but it's gonna be tough. And he would come in every day. Like, wait, he works for a charity in there called Surf, and his job is to like put on dues for all the patients and the nurses and things like that. So he's got a mean job. So yeah. So he's like the morale booster, which is good. And I'm glad I listened to him, because I just wanted to be like Wayne. I was like, and he was like, nah, mate, you're gonna walk out of here.
That's amazing that you believed him as well. And look, Mossy, it's worth telling people listening, you're 125 kilograms there or thereabouts, right? So yeah. 6'6". I don't know how much weight you lost when you were in hospital or gained or whatever, because I know some of the steroids can put weight on as well. But when you started to take your first steps, which must have been such an emotional moment for you, for your family, for your kids, this was in September. Did you believe you'd get to that moment to be walking with crutches? And what the hell was that like, standing up and putting one foot in front of another? It must have been such a huge step in the right direction for you. Quite overpowering.
Yeah. When I was lying in bed, I think this is the best way to lose weight is to lie in bed and do nothing.
Oh, you would say that. Mossy would say that, trust me.
Honestly, I was 133 kilos when I went in to hospital. When I weighed myself, when I got into a wheelchair, I was 113 kilos. So I lost 20 kilos.
How did you lose that? I mean, just not training?
And No, lost muscle mass or just beer belly gone and things like that, you know? It was just, 20 kilos gone in 8 weeks. Yeah, so if you want to lose weight, just lie in bed for 8 weeks and you'll lose about 20 kilos.
Do not, whatever you do, do not break your neck. Do you know? Yeah. You've got to be clear here, Will. Loss is suggesting laying down for a long period of time. He is not suggesting anyone tries and breaks their neck.
Okay? Yeah, that's it.
Just to be clear.
but that moment, Mossy, when you were walking, I mean, to me, I can see the film. Do you know what I mean? We've seen it in Hollywood, haven't we? With accidents and people walking again. What was that emotional for you?
Yeah, it was crazy. There was heaps of heaps of things going through my head. Just the doctors, you know, saying, well, you might not ever walk again, and things like that. And I was just like, oh, I'm gonna prove you wrong, mate. I'm gonna walk. And then when it came to that moment, I was just like, oh, yeah, I've proved them wrong. So I really felt it was like winning a grand final for myself. I was so stoked. But before I got to walk, this is a funny story. So you're lying flat on your bed for, I was 7 weeks. And then because you're lying down for so long, your body gets used to lying down. So for one whole week, they had to like, every 20 minutes, they had to raise my bed up, like, you know, to sit up. And then I'd faint, you know, like, and that would happen for like a week, just to get, because all the blood just drops to your legs. And it took me like a week just to be able to sit up. It was so weird. Yeah. And then at that time, from that week, the next week, they put you on a bed and they strap you into this bed. And then like you're lying down, but then they put the bed right up to a point like you're standing, but the blood just rushes out down to your legs and you nearly faint. Like you just feel like spaced out all the time. So those 2 weeks, I can't really remember much, but besides just fainting all the time or feeling lightheaded. So that was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, no, that moment where you took those steps, Mossy, like, was it bittersweet? Because in some ways, look, it's the achievement of walking and this positive mindset that you've got, I think is remarkable. But was it also a reminder of how far you had to go at that point?
Yeah, exactly. At that time, I just thought, I've clocked this game. You know, like if you're playing that PlayStation, I said, walking is the last thing. And then they brought out round two and round three and four. So it was awesome that I did walk, like started walking. But there's so many more battles now to fight along the way.
I mean, so many battles, Mossy. I know you kind of, when you talk, you have to talk so desensitized from it, don't you? You have to take all of the other bits away, otherwise you're not going to win that battle. I mean, it's not just a physical battle, it's an emotional battle, a financial battle as well, which is so good that this second round has been named after you. How did all that come about for you? Because I mean, I know for one, I'll be sticking 20 quid in straight after this.
No, thanks, mate. Honestly, I'm just grateful, you know, because Neil was dealing with my insurance at the moment, and Neil's gone to a few of his friends, and because Neil understands the severity of the injury. He deals with a lot of people in car accidents that have spinal injuries and all the claims and kind of like all what it costs, you know, like the rehab, the what do you call it again, the adaptations you need to do to your house, the you know, your job
renovations,
and your job loss, you know, you won't be able to do like certain jobs or jobs at all. So he really understands the big picture. He's gone to a few of his mates and told them my story, and they pretty much said, man, we're going to start this Mossy Masoi Foundation, and everyone's congratulating me about it, and I had no idea that they were going to do it. And they come to me and they said, oh, we're going to do this with or without you, because it's to help you and your family. And not just to help me and my family, it's like to help out other players that might get into the situation. Touch wood, it doesn't. And it never needs to be used. But, you know, if it does happen, we're there to help them. So now I'm just grateful that we've got like really nice people behind us and willing to help us.
Yeah, you spoke about the initial challenge. So the initial challenge, Mossy, is facing, you know, paralysis or being, you know, severely disabled for an extended period of time. And then you spoke about the challenge of walking. And then, look, there's other challenges, more interesting, more fun challenges for me to listen to that have happened along the way, isn't there? So talk to us about how these challenges have evolved.
Oh, mate, you know what? I'll try to be as open as possible and I'll try to keep it funny. So, you know, in hospital, you know, when people are kind of like saying, oh, well, if you're lying in bed for six to 8 weeks, you can't move. How to go to the toilet and stuff. So so you have a catheter up there, so that's all sweet. But the other, the backside, you know, all that stuff changes. So you how the doctor explained it to me, you have three, everyone has three contractions roughly in your stomach every hour, you know, to push the food along, you know, so it can get down to to your bowels and you'll be able to release them. But when you get a spinal cord injury, it goes down to like three a day. So you go from what, three times 24 hours, that's what, 72. You go from 72 contractions to three contractions. So they just pump you with heaps of pills, you know, laxatives and things like that, to be able to move it down, because if your bowels clog up, you know, that's a big problem for spinals. So that you get all those laxatives, but then how does it come out when you're in bed? So you just have to take a shit in bed. That's it. So they come in the morning, you know, like, you know, but there was that, like, everyone in the unit in the morning will have to do their bowel care. So you know, they turn you to the side. The way that they're trying to train my bowel is they'll stick a finger up there, check if there's anything there. If there's something there, just they'll wait a little bit. So nurses standing there, wait, like watching you, like you're gonna take a shit, and then they'll stick an enema up there, and then they'll just wait about 20 minutes and pull the blanket over, and then you do your business, and if you don't, they'll just wait. You know, they'll wait till the next day, and then they'll clean it all up, and then off to a shower, and then when after you have a shower, you've got clean sheets, and you know, same thing the next day. So,
you lay there, Mossy. So you lay there.
Yeah.
So the nurse has got a finger up your bottom, or they're trying to sort of stimulate some movement. What's the conversation like?
You know, at first, oh mate, all that stuff just goes out the window. I was just so nervous. Like the nurse, you know, even the nurses, you don't go for a shower. They just shower you in your bed. You know, like they just wash you in your bed. So you're lying here, you can't move, and you're just like, what's going on? Nurse, like the nurses were awesome though. So they were pretty funny. They're so used to it, they just make you feel relaxed. And they're just like, yeah, we're just giving you a bath and everything. And Ben, you're just like, what the hell's going on? First maybe week, I was like a bit. But then after a while, you're just like, this is happening to everyone in here. So it's not just me. I can't feel, you know, like, and the nurses are doing their job. So they looked after me in there, and they were awesome.
Now you're home, Mossy. Is that kind of the role that your wife has to take up with the showering and the finger up the ass?
Oh, I'm lucky enough. I can shout. I got adaptation put in the house, so then I sit in the bath on a bath seat and then just fling my legs over, and I can shower myself. But yeah, with the toilet situation, my bowels are still not normal anymore, so. It's kind of like potty training. So same kind of thing. I've got a different kind of chair over the toilet so I can sit for longer. But the same thing, my missus will have to put a finger up there, have a check, see if anything's in there. And that's what I call love. And
absolutely.
That's true love.
Yeah, and you know what?
Mossy, I promise you the last deep question, and then we'll definitely be looking more forward. And look, I'm normally the one who asks the questions like, would you rather have two penis for legs or two legs for penises? You know, that's the sort of level I'm normally at.
That is the level.
Yeah, I'm quite open about it, so don't worry, guys.
No, so I, in term, the one that fascinates me as well, you've talked about the physical battle and struggle, and you know, the emotional side of it initially happening. But what about the, you know, in terms of mental health? Because I know mental health can affect sportsmen and women just with a an injury which can keep them out for 6 or 7 weeks, or you're out for the season, and the impact that that has on them and their families. But to know you're never going to play again, and to have to, you know, to make that announcement, the mental struggle then that you know you might not walk properly again without crutches, and you're taking every battle as it comes. How do you just explain that mental fight, and how you, the challenges that you faced every day mentally?
I just gained strength from not feeling sorry for myself, you know, and just to know other people are doing it just as bad or the same thing as you, and just changing your mindset on certain things, like you know, that saying glass half empty, glass half full thing, you know, like there's a lot of things I can't do at the moment, man, but do I dwell on that? Do I dwell on all those little things, like like my hands are just dilly dilly fingers and things like that? But I'm not gonna sit here and you know, be negative about it. I just focus on the things that I can do, man. And I think that's it. You only can control what you can do, and you just gotta have that positive mindset. But everyone says being positive is being happy, or being, you know, the positive is different. It's like you just gotta look at things in a more I don't know, a more glass full kind of way, because there are gonna be a lot of negatives, you know. But you know, that's how I see it.
Have you always been like this, Mossy, from a young age?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I think you know, I grew up in a pretty working class family, you know, quite poor, in an area where we didn't have much. So what we got, we were just grateful for what we had, you know. I think it was just the way I was brought up with mum and dad and things, and yeah.
Mossy, you're probably blowing the minds of people who gave you that initial prognosis of, you know, I know they didn't say to you, you won't be able to walk, but you might not be able to. What is the prognosis going forward? Because I know you just mentioned there about your fingers and other things that you can't do. But are you slowly starting to see, as the months go by, improvement in all different kind of areas? And I know you're a stubborn motherfucker, which I absolutely love. And I can see you running the 100 metres in about 2 years' time. But, you know, what is the official prognosis for you?
You know what? It's the weirdest injury ever. The doctors don't know. They pretty much just said to me, you got 18 months. So the way you progress as a person, it's like a graph. You go up for the first 18 months, and you kind of plateau after that. Well, that's, you know, the studies that's been behind spinal cord injuries. And I kind of just said to myself, like, I just got to smash the rehab for the 18 months. Like with the bladder and the bowels thing, it's been 14 months now. And I think that might be a life thing for me. Like that might be a forever thing. But like, well, you know, I can't dwell on that. You know, I can walk around on crutches. You know, I just got to be, the things that I have at the moment, I just got to try and make it as strong as possible. So I've just been doing pumping the rehab.
Yeah, Mossy, how important, you've spoken a lot about sort of these characters along your journey that have been able to empathise with the position you're in. You know, how important is it when you've got such a sort of unique injury to have other people around you who've walked the walk that you're about to do? How important was that for you maybe as a role model or for somebody to look up to?
No, yeah, definitely. You know, in the hospital, the way the spinal, it's not like a normal hospital. It's they've always got volunteers in, you know, share their story and things like that to help. Because when COVID hit, we weren't allowed any visitors. So no outdoor visitors. So I couldn't see family, friends. So I got 6 weeks with all the boys coming in and thing, and then I had the next, I think, 8 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks with no one coming in. But in saying that, you know, we could have taken it a negative way and cried about it, but it was actually a good thing because I got to go talk to a lot of other spinal, people with spinal injuries. And we actually made like a dinner club and stuff like that in the unit, and we're ordering in takeaways, and I think I put on the 20 kilos back on from there. And then, so it was nice. It was nice to hear their stories. And the more I heard their stories, a lot of them weren't their fault. And I really felt for them, you know, like one of my bros, I know he won't mind me saying, but he was in New Zealand. He went to New Zealand on just for a trip. He was riding one of these electric scooters. He fell off, donked his head. So he had a big cave in his head as well. So he had to wear headgear. And then he got hit by a taxi. And the taxi took off. And yeah, and I was just like, what? Like we were talking about it. It was good because we could really talk about and discuss our feelings and things like that, and it helped us get through the process. But I think if we didn't have COVID, we wouldn't have got that chance to make friends. And there was a lot of other people in there in the same situation. We all got to talk to each other, and that's why I'm not really negative about my injury, because you know, my one happened to me doing something I love. You know, I love that. I love the game. I love the collision. I love the camaraderie. I love the, you know, being with the boys, preparing for battle. That's a high that you can never get back.
Do you know, Mossy, when we spoke to Rob Burrow, I remember it. He told us one of the things that he loved the most was the fact that his kids asked basically stupid kid questions, which he found really refreshing, because so many people, he was used to coming up to him and he could see the sadness in their eyes, and he didn't need that. You know, he didn't need that energy as well as they meant. It was too overwhelming, and he needed, like you, to move on and be so positive. Have you found that with your daughters, Evie Rose and Marla? I think Louis's too young to speak, isn't he? But have they been so impactful and refreshing for you?
Yeah, no, that'd be pretty funny because after come from upstairs to downstairs, and then I do my bowel care downstairs and the bottom toilet. So they're eating their breakfast and they're like, because I yell out to my missus, oh, I'm done, because I'll use up a whole roll if I try to wipe my own ass with, like, because like, my hands don't work. So, what are you calling again?
It's a big ass as well, isn't it? Yeah. Let's be honest.
So I yell out to the missus and get off. Babe, can you come and wipe my ass? And then like the girls are like, oh, Dad, why are you gonna get mom to wipe your ass? You know, just funny stuff. Oh God, they're funny. You know, and the more I talk about it, you know, the more it just becomes normal for them. I think that's the best thing about it. It was good because I think, you know, with Jenna Brooks doing the story, it's really kind of got me out of my comfort zone. And, you know, I got a chance here just to spread awareness about spinal cord injured people. And, like, I might as well, because some people, they just look normal on the streets, but you don't understand everything that's going through, you know, like the internal stuff, the mental, the psychological. It's a massive battle.
Yeah. Well, and amongst all of this, Mossy, you've got a big move back to Australia, haven't you? I know you were born in New Zealand, but you've lived in Australia most of your life, and obviously played for Sydney and Penrith as well. Has that come about because of visa issues? I mean, that seems the last thing that you need right now, is a sort of big move when you've set up your house and everything with all your amendments, like you said.
You know, we were always going to move back to Australia, I think, you know, after my career, because we've been away from family for so long. And I think us realizing that now we really need to be around or close to family just to help with Carissa, because she's doing everything. Like I said, she has to do the finger in the morning and, you know, and everything and all the other things. And then No, she's and just looking after the kids. I don't know how she does it, man. Like, honestly, she's been amazing.
That's true love, mate. That's true love, Mossy.
Yeah, that's it. But us being back in Australia is going to be, you know, she might get time, you know, the kids can go to, like, you know, aunties and uncles or grandparents, and just, she can just have time to herself, because since the injury, she's had no time to herself. She's just been, you know, on 24/7.
When you look back then, Mossy, on rugby league in this country, and we started this podcast, didn't we, by talking about those great memories on that night at Old Trafford and that season in 2014, which probably seems like yesterday to you. How will you look back on it with? Because, and I only ask that because, you know, one of the darkest days came playing for Hull KR as well.
Man, I got no regrets about playing rugby league. I bloody loved the game. It's funny, I went to the game in the weekend, and, you know, just the smell of, you know, like the Tiger Balm before the game, oh, brings back memories, man. I was like, how good is this? I was just sitting there and, you know, just sitting there, just oh, how good is this? And, you know, you can't fake that moment, you know, when you're standing in the huddle with the boys and you're just like, I'm ready to go into battle. You can't, there's nothing better. You know, up there, it's up there with, like, the birth of your kids for myself. Like, that is the, you know, that moment with big games, you look each other in the eyes and you go, oh, we've got to do this today. And you're like, yeah. And everyone's putting their body on the line out there for the team. It's the best feeling ever. So I can't look back at the injury and feel down for myself, because I've had heaps of good memories with the Brothers here as well, you know, at St. Helens and all the clubs I've been to. So,
and look, Mark, you touched on it earlier and said that he's the nicest guy that you've ever played with, Mossy Mosoi. But I take it doesn't surprise you whatsoever that the people that have rallied around him and the world of rugby league coming together for someone like him. And let's face it, even if he was a wanker, they would do as well. But do you know what I mean? Yeah, everyone wants to donate to this cause and to help him out for being a top bloke.
Yeah, if he was a wanker, he wouldn't have had all his teammates sat by his bedside in hospital for all those weeks. And I think that was more a reflection of Mossy than it was his teammates and how much of an impact he's obviously had on those guys. Yeah, I think it's great that the rugby league community is getting behind him. I think it's a great initiative this week to call it the Mossy Mosoi round, and there's ways of fundraising. And I just urge anybody who's listening to potentially sacrifice a pack of cigarettes or a couple of beers this weekend if times are hard, and if they could sacrifice, you know, £5, £10 and put it towards Mossy, I think you'd be doing a great thing, because we, as John always says, we provide entertainment playing rugby league, and I think Mossy's injury, it puts into sharp focus how dangerous and how much risk is involved every time a player takes the field. And rugby league will go along for a long, long time, and lads will always play, and there'll always be injuries. But I think that such a serious injury as this, it has to be addressed. And I think people and fans of the game should try as best as they can to contribute to the fund and help Mossy and his family with the rest of their lives.
Look, Mossy, we put some questions out for people who listen to Out of Your League to ask you a few, and I won't do loads because we've kept you long enough. But and I'll spare you from this one, just to let you know, this is the sort of level of question we normally get from Dan Heyman, who said, what would look more weird, a penis without testicles underneath or testicles without a penis above? So look, you don't have to answer that one, but this is a nice way to finish.
It's a great question, Will. It's a great question.
Yeah, it's a great answer. It's a big
one. Well, Mossy, you can answer that if you want to. Go do that one first, and then I've got another one for you.
I think it would look weirder if I had testicles above. So, it'll look really weird.
I think that's the right answer. Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of looking down, but I was like, oh, God.
This is a really nice one, actually. This is the last one I want to put to you, because it's a good way to finish. Did Mossy Mosoi, this is from Curtis Graham, enjoy running the ball back after the goal line dropout as much as we fans loved watching it?
Oh, I loved it, because there was no one to run away. You had to face it. That was my favourite moment. and in the reverse, you know, I loved when, you know, kicking off and then the prop, you know, that was the mental game that I loved. You know, when the prop was running it at you and he wanted the challenge, and if he stepped you, you knew that you won that challenge. So he was trying to run away from you. And then I just knew, like from then, I was like, you know, I got you for the rest of the game. I got into his head. He didn't want some. So I used to always just give it to them.
Does Mossy remember the grand final in 14? Because we kicked off against Wigan and it was Sia and Mossy defending next to each other. And I think Sia absolutely nailed someone the first carry. And then the next one, Mossy flew out of the line and nailed someone again. And I just thought, these boys are on tonight. And I could see it in his eye that he was ready to do some business, and he surely did.
Yeah. That's my favourite moments, man, on the field with the boys. I love the collision side of the game. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I can't... You know, the my neck injuries...
Why would you not enjoy that though, Mossy, right? You're 6'6", you're fucking rapid, you're 125 kilos. Like, it'd be really weird if you... It's like saying I, like, enjoy running 5K, you know what I mean? It's, like, absolutely made for you. So Mossy used to do this thing, he used to piss me off at training. So we'd just be most chilled guy ever, so relaxed. And then when it come to doing, like, little sprinty sort of drills, he'd just turn it on. And he's quick, man. He was quick. I think this might be the only time in my life, Mossy, I would beat you in a race. But for all those times you beat me at training, that kicking off to Mossy is one of those guys that if you're playing against him, you would kick the other way. Just kick to the other side of the field. Why are we kicking to this guy?
Yeah, we used to do that. Against Hull KR, do not kick to Mossy Massoy. Anybody else, the other way.
Yeah, we try and get him in a load of tackles. We'll get him in a load of tackles first. Make sure he's a bit tired, then we'll go after him.
Get him tired.
That's it.
Listen, Mossy, it's so nice to see you smiling when you remember those memories as well, and you've got them for the rest of your life. And look, just listening to you for the last hour or so, absolute, and it is overused, but you are an absolute inspiration, mate. So you know, you should be so proud of that and what you've done to help other people, just speaking about these sorts of issues. And you know, even with a smile on your face, with someone's complete stranger's finger up your arse, and at the moments that you've been through, is going to help people. So listen, I'd love to have a pint with you someday, mate, but I know you're going back to Oz soon, and I absolutely encourage everyone to donate, as Mark said as well. You can text them 5 Mossy to 70085 to donate £5. Yeah, you can do better than that. 10 Mossy to 70085. You get the picture. You can donate up to £20 or go to Mossy's website, www.mossymassoyfoundation.co.uk. All the best, Mossy. Hope the trip back to Australia goes well, and we'll definitely keep in touch with you.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me tonight.
All the best, Moss. Yeah, good to see you, mate.
Legend, Moss.
Thanks, you very much, everyone, for listening to Out of Your League. I'll have, of course, a new episode for you every week, available to download from wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. And don't forget to give us a little follow at Out of Your RL on Twitter. We'll see you next week.